理课堂听 class.com。
Model Test 8
Part 3 Listening Comprehension
Section A Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause.During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. I think the whole class is going on the field trip next Friday.
I am not so sure.You know, not everybody can afford the transportation fee.
What does the woman imply?
Question 12. I feel so uneasy about trusting David with our money. How about you?
Some people say he's not reliable, but others have a lot of confidence in him. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
What does the man mean? Question 13.Where did you get that terrible bruise on your arm?
I banged it against the corner of the coffee table while I was playing with my son.
How did the man bruise his arm? Question 14.Where shall we spend our holidays this year, Tom? Going away or staying at home?
We're definitely going abroad, dear. But I don't think we'll go away in May. I doubt if we'll have enough money saved up by then.
Why can't the couple go abroad in May?
Question 15. Are you free this afternoon, Mary? If you have spare time, will you join us in playing volleyball? Lily has got a bad cold, so she couldn't play.
I'd like to. Anyway, my basketball lesson was canceled, and as long as I can go swimming at 7 p.m., that's okay.
What will the woman do this afternoon?
Question 16. Finding this china cabinet was a real stroke of luck. Because of the scratch on the side, the dealer charged me $50 less than the regular price.
You were very lucky, and with a little polish, the scratch won't even show.
What does the man think of the china cabinet?
Question 17. Finally, the weekend comes. I will go for a picnic. So do you know tomorrow's weather?
Now it's 7:32, and here is the weather forecast. Strong wind blew today, and tomorrow it will be colder. And if it gets cold enough, there could be heavy snow next week.
What is the weather forecast for tomorrow? Question 18. After Kathy came back from her honeymoon, she has been upset these days. Do you know the reason?
Her husband had to leave her alone in the hotel because his company assigned him an urgent mission. So she did nothing but went shopping without her husband's company.
Why has Kathy been upset these days? Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Hello.
Good evening. Is that Mrs. Phillips?
Yes, it is.
Well, Mrs. Phillips, this evening I'm calling to offer you a special discount on...
No. Let me guess. You want to sell a subscription to the newspaper, or a great deal on the airfare to Hawaii, right? Or you want to offer me an unbelievable bargain on dance lessons.
No. Actually, Mrs. Phillips... Oh, sorry. That was the last guy. We want to offer you a free membership to our sports club downtown at the introductory price of $39.95.
$39.95? I thought you said free. Listen, I'm not interested.
Well, it includes unlimited access to all our facilities, including the gym, weight room, tennis courts, and swimming pool.
Again, I'm not interested. I have my own fitness program I do around the house anyway.
Well, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. In addition, the location of the sports club is near your house. That will be convenient for you.
Like I said, I'll pass this time. And please put me on your don't call list.
Okay. It'll take between 4 and 6 months before your name will be removed from our database. You might be called by another representative during that time.
Oh, man. Oh, great.
Have a nice evening, Mrs. Phillips.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. What is the man doing?
Question 20. What does the man want to offer the woman?
Question 21. What does the woman request at the end of the conversation?
Conversation 2.
Good morning, Miss Smith. Welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Today we're going to talk about the living of foreign students in our country. You know, for many international students, coming to the United States and living here and studying can be a quite frightening experience, especially when finding housing. Can you give them some advice?
Sure. Fortunately, there are a variety of options that students can look to. They can choose to live on campus or off campus.
Then can you say something about on-campus living?
Well, I think, first of all, for first-time students, coming and living on campus in dormitories can provide a certain level of security because of its closeness to campus facilities, since commuting without a car can be quite an experience, especially when you have to commute long distances. Often in dormitories, meals might be provided, and this can allow students to devote time to their academics rather than housekeeping.
That sounds quite good. Is there anything students should pay attention to when living on campus?
Yes, students should be aware that they'll be required to abide by certain regulations dealing with student conduct as part of the contract and living on campus.
Then what about off-campus living?
Like living in dormitories, living off-campus in an apartment requires little or no maintenance specifically, because usually it is handled by someone else. Also, when you live off campus, there might be a certain amount of flexibility in choosing roommates that you might not have when living on campus. But you should be aware that tenants may be responsible for furnishing their own apartments.
Well, thank you, Ms. Smith, for the information you have provided for us.
My pleasure.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 22. Which of the following advantages is related to on-campus living?
Question 23. What should students remember when living on campus, according to the woman?
Question 24. What is the advantage of off-campus living compared with on-campus living?
Question 25. What should students do if they prepare to live in apartments off campus?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
We humans have found countless mysteries of the universe with which to occupy our minds over the centuries. We not only ask questions about what something is, but we also want to know why it is. Ancient people invented elaborate mythological explanations to account for the mysterious things they saw. Both the sky with its heavenly bodies and seemingly never-ending vastness, and the seas with their great depths and power were, and still are, capable of filling people with feelings of fear and wonder. As ancient humans looked at the sky above them, one sight that intrigued them most was the Milky Way. They, of course, didn't know that the strange, broad, luminous band of light across the sky is, in reality, composed of countless stars and planets, located so far from the Earth that they cannot be seen individually by the naked eyes. To the ancient Chinese, it appeared as a luminous river, which they referred to as the River of Heaven, or the Silver Stream. Even though today we know what the Milky Way is, it remains equally mysterious in many ways, because it is so remote from us. It is no wonder that for those individuals who believe in UFOs, it seems a likely place from which they could have arisen. After all, we know so little about heavenly bodies. The power of the ocean is awesome. We hear of tidal waves that crash onto land, destroying everything in their path. We read accounts of lost ships over the centuries. Now, in the 21st century, as we fly across the Pacific, we can't help but feel a bit lonely and concerned as we think of that vast body of water below us.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. How did ancient people count for those mysterious things they saw?
Question 27. What did ancient Chinese people consider the Milky Way as?
Question 28. Why is the Milky Way mysterious to humans even now? Passage 2.
High-tech and state-of-the-art are two expressions that describe very modern technology. High-tech is just a shorter way of saying high technology, and high technology describes any invention, system, or device that uses the newest ideas or discoveries of science and engineering. What is high-tech? A computer is high-tech. So is a communications satellite. A modern manufacturing system is surely high-tech. High-tech became a popular expression in the United States during the early 1980s. Because of improvements in technology, people could buy many new kinds of products in American stores, such as home computers, microwave ovens, etc. State-of-the-art is something that is as modern as possible. It is a product that is based on the very latest methods and technology. Something that is state-of-the-art means the newest possible design or product of a business or industry. A state-of-the-art television set, for example, uses the most modern electronic design and parts. It is the best that one can buy. State-of-the-art is not a new expression. Engineers have used it for years to describe the best and most modern ways of doing something. Millions of Americans began to use the expression in the late 1970s. The reason was the computer revolution. Every computer company claimed that its computers were state-of-the-art. Computer technology changed so fast that a state-of-the-art computer today might be old tomorrow. The expression state-of-the-art became as common and popular as computers themselves. Now all kinds of products are said to be state-of-the-art.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. What is the author's purpose for this passage?
Question 30. Where were the expressions of high-tech and state-of-the-art first used?
Question 31. Why did people begin to use the expression state-of-the-art? Passage 3.
Reading to oneself is a modern activity which was almost unknown to the scholars of the classical and medieval worlds. While during the 15th century, the term reading undoubtedly meant reading aloud. Only during the 19th century did silent reading become commonplace. One should be careful, however, in assuming that silent reading came about simply because reading aloud is a distraction to others. Examination of factors related to the historical development of silent reading reveals that it became the usual mode of reading for most adult reading tasks, mainly because the tasks themselves changed in character. The 19th century saw a steady, gradual increase in literacy, and thus in the number of readers. As readers increased, so the number of potential listeners decreased, and thus there was some reduction in the need to read aloud. As reading for the benefit of listeners grew less common, so came the flourishing of reading as a private activity in such public places as libraries, railway carriages, and offices. There, reading aloud would cause distraction to other readers. Towards the end of the century, there was still considerable argument over whether books should be used for information, and over whether the reading material, such as newspapers, was in some way mentally weakening. Indeed, this argument remains with us still in education. However, whatever its virtues are, the old shared literacy culture had gone and was replaced by the mass media on the one hand and by books and magazines for a specialized readership on the other. The social, cultural, and technological changes in the century had greatly altered what the term reading implied.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. Why was reading aloud common before the 19th century?
Question 33. What did the development of silent reading during the 19th century indicate?
Question 34. What are educationalists still arguing about?
Question 35. What is the writer of this passage attempting to do?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Dr. Gregory Connolly is director of the Office for Non-Smoking and Health in the Massachusetts Public Health Department. He said the U.S. had threatened Taiwan, Japan, Korea, and Thailand with trade sanctions unless they opened up their markets to U.S. cigarettes and tobacco advertising. "We are trading them cancer in the form of Camel cigarettes," Connolly told a World Health Conference. "That is something to be condemned and ashamed of." Connolly did not say when the threats were made or by whom. U.S. tobacco company officials were not immediately available for comment. American Cancer Society Chief Executive William Tipping said, "American corporations are the carriers of an epidemic, and our government has become a willing instrument for the enforced export of that epidemic. Those of us from America can only feel ashamed at our administration's role in undermining world health." Connolly said cigarettes are sold and advertised in the third world without health warnings and with higher nicotine content than in the U.S. Later Wednesday, the American Cancer Society announced that its new Trade for Life campaign would help Thailand fight what it called U.S. moves to force open the Asian country's market to American tobacco companies. The society said the Thai government had resisted such imports because of fears it will lead to increases in tobacco-related diseases and deaths. Tipping said the GATT case could set a precedent in allowing international tobacco companies to force their products and advertising on developing countries. He said the first goal of the U.S. $500,000 a year campaign was to bring the moral force of world opinion to bear on American trade policy.
Now the passage will be read again.
Dr. Gregory Connolly is director of the Office for Non-Smoking and Health in the Massachusetts Public Health Department. He said the U.S. had threatened Taiwan, Japan, Korea, and Thailand with trade sanctions unless they opened up their markets to U.S. cigarettes and tobacco advertising. "We are trading them cancer in the form of Camel cigarettes," Connolly told a World Health Conference. "That is something to be condemned and ashamed of." Connolly did not say when the threats were made or by whom. U.S. tobacco company officials were not immediately available for comment. American Cancer Society Chief Executive William Tipping said, "American corporations are the carriers of an epidemic, and our government has become a willing instrument for the enforced export of that epidemic. Those of us from America can only feel ashamed at our administration's role in undermining world health." Connolly said cigarettes are sold and advertised in the Third World without health warnings and with higher nicotine content than in the U.S. Later Wednesday, the American Cancer Society announced that its new Trade for Life campaign would help Thailand fight what it called U.S. moves to force open the Asian country's market to American tobacco companies. The society said the Thai government had resisted such imports because of fears it will lead to increases in tobacco-related diseases and deaths. Tipping said the GATT case could set a precedent in allowing international tobacco companies to force their products and advertising on developing countries. He said the first goal of the U.S. $500,000 a year campaign was to bring the moral force of world opinion to bear on American trade policy.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Dr. Gregory Connolly is director of the Office for Non-Smoking and Health in the Massachusetts Public Health Department. He said the U.S. had threatened Taiwan, Japan, Korea, and Thailand with trade sanctions unless they opened up their markets to U.S. cigarettes and tobacco advertising. "We are trading them cancer in the form of Camel cigarettes," Connolly told a World Health Conference. "That is something to be condemned and ashamed of." Connolly did not say when the threats were made or by whom. U.S. tobacco company officials were not immediately available for comment. American Cancer Society Chief Executive William Tipping said, "American corporations are the carriers of an epidemic, and our government has become a willing instrument for the enforced export of that epidemic. Those of us from America can only feel ashamed at our administration's role in undermining world health." Connolly said cigarettes are sold and advertised in the third world without health warnings and with higher nicotine content than in the U.S. Later Wednesday, the American Cancer Society announced that its new Trade for Life campaign would help Thailand fight what it called U.S. moves to force open the Asian country's market to American tobacco companies. The society said the Thai government had resisted such imports because of fears it will lead to increases in tobacco-related diseases and deaths. Tipping said the GATT case could set a precedent in allowing international tobacco companies to force their products and advertising on developing countries. He said the first goal of the U.S. $500,000 a year campaign was to bring the moral force of world opinion to bear on American trade policy.
This is the end of listening comprehension.